A colossal monster, a city in ruins, no way out, except inside of the all-electric Toyota CHR. John Cho stars in Escape. Test drive Toyota's new all-electric family today. Toyota, let's go places.
All right, welcome back to Jimmy Eats Cars, episode 2. Guys, thank you so much for showing up last week. I can't believe how many of y'all showed up. I was so happy to see the response, see the feedback. You guys are amazing. If you're just tuning in for the first time, this show is all about whatever I want to talk about, whatever is on my mind for this week. If it deals with cars, weird shit, I'm probably going to talk about it. But anyway, thank you guys so much for showing up last week. That really meant the world to me. That was a really good week. I had a very good week that week because of that, and it meant a lot to me. I had a bunch of people reach out to me. They were super stoked. Today is also the release of my new show, Lore Garage, over on the Donut Main channel. So go check that out. I am super excited. I hope you guys enjoy that just as much as you enjoy the Jimmy Eats Cars podcast. I've been working on that, I think, since November. I'm just like super stoked to see what you guys think. I am shitting and farting my pants right now because I don't know in this moment, because I'm in the past, how it's going to do. It's animated in a very like PS1 graphic style, very, very old video game. And I love how it looks. It's so charming to me. Go check out the first episode. It's all about Motor X, which is the story of the GTR being brought into the United States illegally back in the early 2000s. Lore Garage is going to be a weekly show, so you'll be able to tune in every Thursday and watch a new episode of Lore Garage. Currently, we have 8 episodes on the calendar. We've shot 4. I'm shooting the next 4 starting this week. If you don't know what Motor X is, it's the crazy story of this company trying to bring in the Nissan Skyline GTR into the United States in the early 2000s, which was basically illegal. They went through crash testing. They sold over 100 of these cars. They barely made any money. Probably one of the most interesting things about the Motor X episode to me is the fact that they were able to get away with this for so long, and they were able to bring in so many cars, and they left a standing impression on enthusiasts in America and worldwide. There's people in Australia that talk about Motor X cars. It's a very insane story that leads up to this guy going to prison and possibly tasing someone, and no one's heard from him since. But that's just a quick synopsis. Go watch it, please. I want you to watch it. It would mean the world to me if you go and check it out. And then next week, we're going to be doing North Korea's car stories, which will be very interesting. The story of North Korea's auto industry. I wonder what that's like. No lemon long there. You just get shot. I don't know what it is about the Nissan Skyline, but it just attracts drama. Right now, over in Japan, there's a 400R that's up for auction. And let's actually check what the rate is right now on that car. I want to see, because these cars go for a lot of money. So the 400R, if you're not familiar, is this R33 GTR that Nismo basically took and made it like a works car. So they put like all the Nismo catalog pieces on it, and they put in a 2.8 liter engine that was built by Renick. Super cool. Renick made all the Group A motors. From what I could gather, they've only made 40, but then some sources say 44, which is like really funny to me, because it's like, yo, we can figure out a 4-car difference, right? Like that's not difficult. But for some reason, no one seems to know the actual number that were built. Let's find this listing. These cars go for a lot of money. I mean, I think at the height when the 400R just came in to like, when the 400R started becoming popular, I remember my buddy, I didn't know him at first, but I now know him now. My buddy Andrew, he bought his for over $1 million, which is pretty insane. And I think one sold at Car Week for about 900,000. So these go for a lot of money. This one right now is at $667,000, and there is 6 days remaining on it. But I don't want to talk about this one. I want to talk about one that popped up a couple weeks ago. This was a yellow one. And what's interesting about this car, this yellow one, is it's a prototype car, and it popped up at auction. And this is a Pikes Peak car. This is the only 400R to ever go up Pikes Peak. It was fully gutted. This thing is a race car, all right? No interior. Big old just cage in it. One bucket seat. I mean, this thing was so cool. If you go on YouTube, you can find video of this car charging up Pikes Peak. It's so sick. It was driven by a company called... I think it was called Best. It's not Best Motoring because that's the videos. It was called Best Motorsports. Best Motorsports is pretty cool. They had this, but yeah, it's a yellow GTR. You can find the video of it, and don't confuse it with the Big Bird R33 from the Fast and Furious. That's also a Motorex car, so don't confuse it with that one. This was its own thing. It went up Pikes Peak. Very cool. However, it went up for auction, and people were like, oh my gosh, this is a great car. This is a piece of Japanese tuning, motorsports history, so cool. And I remember when the auction started, I had 12 days on it. And every day, I remember Joe sent it to me, and Joe was like, how much do you think this is going to go for? And my estimate was, I don't think it'll go for 300. I think it'll go for around the 300,000 to 400,000 mark. Because it's a race car. It's not really like a street car. You can't just buy this and take it down the street. This is a purpose-built car. It doesn't have any paperwork for the road. So you have to just drive it. Like, this is a circuit-built car. I've just lost my train of thought. I thought it was only going to go for like 300 to 400,000 because there's like JGTC Skylines and Group A cars that have gone around that price mark. I think Japanese race cars are significantly undervalued. However, this thing sold, supposedly, for a whopping $1.5 million. That's more than the 400R that sold back in 2022, I think it was, for like 1.3. I saw that and I was like, that's too much. And I did a little digging. I asked around. My buddy Sam, my man Sam from Japan, he's very cool. Actually, he helped us with Lore Garage as well. Another Lore Garage plug. He was telling me that it's not the original owner who's selling this car. Even though the photos of the car are in this driveway, it is not the original owner of the car. So this thing was listed again a week after the auction closed, and it shot up to like $1.6 million. It just kept going up in value. So something like fishy was going on, and the photos were always changing, and things weren't adding up. We've come to the conclusion now that, yeah, this wasn't the original owner. This is a company that is now selling this car. We went to his Instagram, and we did a little recon. This is a quote from the owner, and this is using Google Translate, so it's a little broken English. He said, because in the listing, it says it's been test driven. This car has been test driven. And he says, it has not been test driven. The engine doesn't start, but it is not in a condition where a test drive is possible. At present, there are many broken parts, including the drivetrain. The parts are no longer in production and cannot be obtained. So this is not something that can be repaired within 1 or 2 months. And therefore, there's no way this car could have been test driven. This is a malicious scam. Please do not be deceived. This is the original owner saying this about his car going up for sale. If they still insist that it was test-driven, then it would mean that the parts from the car are from a different manufacturer that have been installed, which means it is no longer in the original specification of that era. This car is fugazi. To go out of your way to say this is pretty crazy. This seller is extremely dishonest. Attempting to sell this car by misleading buyers is unacceptable, both from the perspective of a mechanic and as a driver. This really sucks because... Dude, this guy owned this car for like 30 years. I think this car should belong in a museum, personally. This is such a cool piece. I think Nissan or Nismo should have this car. I guarantee you, too, they bid on it, but they probably, I mean, dude, $1.5 million, that would like destroy Nissan right now if they tried to buy this car for their museum. That really sucks. There was like apparently some Fortnite slop YouTuber who did like a driving review of it, but the thing just like didn't sound right. Like it just had like, it just wasn't right. This fucking sucks, dude. I feel for this guy. I feel like he probably sold this car to this guy, this company, because he thought like, oh, it's going to go into good hands. And then maybe that this like this guy who's selling his car under false pretenses is like giving him a sob story. You know, he's like, oh, I've loved this car forever. It's beautiful. I've seen pictures of it. I was inspired to move to Japan because of this Pikes Peak footage. And then he just put the car up for auction immediately, which really sucks. I hate when people do that. I've seen it in the Miata community where like this older gentleman will list his Miata for sale and some young kid will buy it and then immediately flip it and give him like a sob story. I hate that stuff so much. Just commit to the car. If you're going to flip cars, don't like give people sob stories. I hate that. I just hope this car finds a good home in the end. It gets fixed and it can go on public display. I think, you know, we need to see race cars like this because a lot of these Japanese race cars, they just end up in fields, they rot away, and you don't see them. Rare GTRs have just been getting like L's this whole start of this year. I mean, kind of started last year, but I don't know if you guys saw at Laguna Seca what happened with this red AR2 R34 GTR. It was R's Day, which is a GTR gathering that we have here in the United States. And it's been traveling around to some circuits in Southern California. We've had it at Willow Springs. I went to the Willow Springs one a couple of years ago. That was really cool. Really sick event. And then they have this one at Laguna Seca this year. And there was this beautiful, I mean, just beautiful, beautiful AR2 R34. Just like very nice red. This thing had a sick cage in it. Cool wheels, just a very good looking car. And it was set up to like actually be a track car. This is an R34 that's being tracked and driven hard. And the owner took it out on the racetrack. And within one lap, within 10 minutes basically of him going out on the track, a tractor hit his car. There was a black flag on the track and all the drivers had to stop. And because he was in the front row of the main straight, he couldn't pull into the pits. So they just asked him to stop where he was. And dude, a Laguna Seca trackside worker in a tractor just demolishes his car, just bodies it. And I mean, this isn't like light damage. This is, I mean, you look at the photos of this. It is, I mean, it's not good. I mean, it's like, oh my God, this poor car. That is just, there's only 122 of these two R34s. So that's like less than 1% of the R34s in existence. Oh my gosh, that breaks my heart. You're breaking my heart. God damn. This is kind of old news at this point. This happened in December. However, there has been some updates. The owner of the car he's actually a lawyer, funny enough. And, you know, obviously, a track you're at, you know, you want your car to, they damage your car, right? You would think they would pay for the damages. Well, they've said they're not going to pay for the damages because he should have known better. And he was on the racing line, which is the tractor line, which is so, I can't believe it. In my opinion, I think Laguna Seca should pay for the damages on this car. This is obviously they're at fault here. They had a trackside worker driving a, I don't know how heavy it is, maybe like a 20-ton tractor, and they just hit into this guy. I mean, how do you not see a car on the track, on a wide open track? How do you not see this GTR, a bright red GTR sitting in the middle? That is crazy. That guy needs to get his eyes checked. So this was a black flag event, and with black flag, you're supposed to just, everyone else came in off the track, and I understand some people, like this guy, were not in a position to pull off the track. He was already past the entry point for the pits, so he just pulled off kind of to the side. He wasn't like in the middle, and he just got that car too, which really sucks. I know he really wanted to drive it, and the whole Apexi team helped him like tune it up and get it ready for this track day. And literally within 10 minutes, just right into the back of it. So I hope this guy who's driving this tractor gets his eyes checked. I hope Laguna Seca pays for some new glasses and also pays this guy out for his R34 GTR. That would be really good. That'd be cool. My final thoughts on this is I hope that Laguna Seca takes fault and they pay this guy out. I don't think this guy can fix his car at all anymore. I think this is a total loss. that looks like the rear firewall has been completely pushed in and the rear quarter panel is like gone. This is like, yeah, total write off at this point. So I hope Laguna Seca, you know, makes it right. I like Laguna Seca a lot. I went there back in 2019 for Miata reunion. So I'd love to see them make it right because it's a cool track at the end of the day. And it's a historical track and it means a lot to a lot of people. And I want to continue going there. And I want to see Ars Day come back there, but I don't think they'll be going back anytime soon.
People are in the comments are saying that he could have like just lifted the tires higher to get a better view, but he just didn't do that.
That guy's still like, that's crazy. Yeah, he could have lifted it. He could have poked his head out because he hit the tire hits the GTR. He hits it with the left side. So he could have easily seen it, I think. This is bright red. I don't know how you missed that. Oh, leftovers. Do we have any leftovers from last week in the Jimmy Eats Cars podcast? I know. Cho, my sweet boy Cho. I just want to say thank you. We're doing a live unboxing. Oh my gosh, it's here. Rainforest Cafe, Tokyo. Look at that. Little Cha-Cha the Tree Frog right there. Beautiful hat. Thank you, Cho. I will cherish this forever. You're an amazing friend. I can't wait to go to Rainforest Cafe Tokyo with you next year. It's going to be awesome. We're going to get so many Mojo Bones and Corona Ritas, and it's going to be so sick. We're gonna take photos together of all the animatronics. Thank you for the little charm, too. Little monkey. He said this is a good luck charm. I'm going to need this week. So thank you, Cho. I'm going to put this right here for now. Thank you, Cho. You guys love that Jeffrey Epstein stuff. I mean, there's no real... It's been crazy. There's like all the files came out. All the conspiracy theories were true, I guess. The flat earthers are feeling pretty left out right now. They're just waiting to hear any news that the earth is actually flat. There was no updates on the Mercedes or any of the other cars. However, there was some insurance paperwork found in the Jeffrey Epstein files. I won't dwell on this too much, but he made it personal, man. He crashed out. He destroyed a 1992 Mazda Miata. I can't believe you did it, man. I know you're still out there. I know you're listening to this. F*** you. No, he's a horrible person. Again, he did way worse things. Crashing a 1992 Mazda Miata is not the worst thing you could do. Sorry I had to hydrate right there. Guys, please hydrate. I think it is very important that people hydrate more. That's like my 2026 goal, but I'm starting it in February. Because that's when people actually start their new year. What is it? Resolution. That's when they start their new year resolution in February. I think that's when you should start it. Yeah, that's all I want to talk about with Jeffrey Epstein. So I'm going to move on to some of the other topics I have written down here for today. The Grand Tour replacements are here, which is super exciting. We got the boys at Throttle House, James and Thomas, which is really funny because my first name's James and my middle name is Thomas. And if you didn't know, there's actually some crazy lore. I don't actually go by Jimmy outside of work. My first day at Donut, I remember I walked in and good old James Pumphrey said, you can't be James anymore because there can't be two Jameses because there was a James before me and they always got confused. So then I had to go by Jimmy. But literally everywhere else in my life, I am called James. It is just with you guys on the internet that I'm known as Jimmy, which is so funny. And I will never shake it. That's just like, my mom was like, why do they call you Jimmy? And I was like, it's a whole story. So that's some cool lore for you guys. I'd love to have my name back, but it's okay. I'm sold at this point. I think it's funny when you guys leave comments that say, I wish James. I'm like, dude, I never left, man. I was always here. The quest to become James again is on my mind constantly. I would like my name back at some point. Though I think I need to set like goals with you guys and myself to make that happen. So one of them is I'm going to crack 5 lap times at 5 different circuits. I don't know which ones yet. I got to map it out. The first one is going to be Willow Springs. And I got to crack 130, which should be pretty easy. And then I'm going to go to Fuji Speedway for the last one. And crack some crazy... Oh, no. I'm going to go to Scuba over in Japan. And I'm going to do under a minute. That'll be pretty tough, but I think I can do it. And then I'll get my name back, and then I will be known as James again. I'm never going to be known as James again. It's so funny. I'm going to be 30 this year, and people are still going to be calling me Jimmy. I'm a grown man. I own a f***ing house. My title work says James. It's so funny. Anyway, back to the grand tour. We got the third host, Francis Bourgeoisie. I love this guy. I'm so excited to have Francis. I heard there was rumors about it, and I remember when I saw the first rumor pop up on my my Instagram feed, and I was like, oh my God, we're getting Francis. I've been following this guy for so long. He's so sick. If you don't know who he is, he's a train spotter on TikTok, and he's obsessed with trains and model trains, and I love him so much. He's so cool. I want to be him. For dorky dudes like me, I think this is a huge win. I mean, he's so cool. I'm excited to see what he brings. I think he's going to bring that James May energy. I've seen so many people just hating on him because they're like, this guy's not a car guy. And I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure he is. He's like, dude, he's got a pink Honda Jazz that he put a K-Series in. He gets it. He's a Honda boy. He just wants to hit VTEC at 3 a.m. Dude, I love this guy. And I mean, I saw a lot of people last week, now that it's official that these are the new three, that are like, yo, Amazon has f***ed this up. It's going to be a repeat. I'll be honest, I don't think they'll f*** it up. I don't think it's possible. I think they have all the data of like, okay, what went wrong here? Let's make this right. And I mean, they have the backing of the original three. The original three just don't want to. Jeremy Clarkson just wants to be on his farm. Hammond just wants to be in his little workshop, and James May just wants to travel the world. So yeah, they wanted to move on and just do different things. I think this is the new generation coming in. And personally, I think it would have been better to change the name of the show and have a different name than the Grand Tour. But I get it. The Grand Tour has a huge IP, so just got to keep it existing. And I think they're going to do the series very well. I'm very excited. Super stoked. I'm rooting for my boy Francis. I know he's going to kill it. A lot of people are doubting on Francis. I don't think he's out of his league, though. I think he's got this so well. I mean, he's got that British presenter voice that is so calming to the ears. I love hearing him talk. I could listen to him all day. That's why you guys are here. I wish I was British, but I'm Australian and I lost my f***ing accent. So I'll never get that back, but I can get my name back. Dude, crazy weekend. Had the Super Bowl. That was fun. Super Bowl's always good. We always get the crazy ads. All it was is AI and crypto this year. And I don't know if you guys saw, but there was this crazy ad. I think it was like the middle. Maybe there was one in the beginning, but I wasn't paying attention. For a like a supercar, hypercar thing by this company called Dream with an extra E. So distinguished. But it's this crazy commercial. Apparently, they're a Chinese. Apparently, that's a Chinese vacuum company, and they were like, you know what? Enough of these vacuums. It's time to make a hypercar. And the whole commercial is AI. I thought it was like a Kanye West commercial at first. I thought it was a Kanye West commercial, or I thought it was anti AI. I thought it was going to be like an anti AI ad altogether. But it turns out it was just a completely AI commercial about this car. They did display the car at CES in Las Vegas, and supposedly it has over 1,800 horsepower. It has four electric motors, one at each wheel, which is pretty impressive. I am very excited to maybe see where this goes, where it doesn't go. Who knows? Now, the question is, will it be offered in the U.S.? I mean, they ran a Super Bowl commercial. I think it'll make it here eventually. It'll be here in limited numbers. I mean, the tariff on it's going to be crazy. I don't think anyone would want to buy it. We'll have to see. I'm very curious. I don't know why you would do a Super Bowl ad, though, if you know a car like that's going to be tough to get into the country. And the Super Bowl ad was, like, cut short. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the timing on it, but it was, like, all the AI craziness. And then it was, like, it showed off all their products with the car in the middle and the vacuum. And it was, like, for less than like 3 seconds. It felt like a very like instant jump. And I was like, oh, they definitely ran out of money to do the rest of the commercial, so they just cut it off there. So that's not a good sign at all. Yeah, I mean, electric cars are kind of crazy right now. I mean, supposedly Canada, not supposedly, it's fact, Canada is going to start letting Chinese EVs into the country because we're in this trade war with them. For a long time, America, we were selling cars to Canada. Now, China is going to be selling cars to Canada. Well, and China is probably going to get a ton of maple syrup in return. We'll see. I am so sick of these AI ads. I was so sick of seeing every AI ad throughout the Super Bowl. It was so annoying. What happened to cool AI? What happened to cool 2000s AI? When I thought of AI as an 8-year-old, I thought we were going to have Cortana, dude. I thought she was going to be telling me where to go throughout my day, where Covenant drop ships were going to be dropping down. I just, that real Dommy Mommy energy, you know? I really wish that was the AI we got and not Elon Musk's trashy Gronk. Now Cortana just makes fart noises when you want to.
Yeah, give me another one. Come on.
Oh, I saw this NASCAR Winter Olympics commercial from like 2004. And it's like the with Tony Stewart. And the NASCAR just goes down. And it looks shot like practically. And it's just like going down the hill on the snow. And it runs some snowboard people. I don't know. I've never touched snow. That's another fun fact. I've never touched snow in my life. Pretty crazy. Super Bowl. Kim Kardashian and Lewis Hamilton. Are they dating? This isn't the first time they've been spotted. This is the second time, I think, in public. Maybe third. I could be wrong. But I remember they were spotted at a hotel in France. I think last week. And now this week, they're at the Super Bowl together. The Kardashian curse is hitting again. Though I'm thinking, because Lewis Hamilton had a really shit season last year, maybe the Kardashian curse will like double up the bad luck and make good luck. So we'll see. I'm really curious. This is going to be interesting to see if they're dating. I'm so into it. I know this isn't TMZ, but I'm very I don't know. It's kind of cool. You know, I actually saw her once at a family dinner, and I didn't know why the f*** she was there, and I didn't know who she was, and I was like, why are you here? And that's the only interaction I've ever had with a Kardashian.
She was your cousin's assistant.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that.
Was this before?
Yeah, it was like 2005 or something.
Wow.
Yeah. And I remember she was at this dinner. I was like, my mom is like, who are these people? Lewis messed up pretty bad last season, so I don't know. Maybe this will help him. Good luck to you this season, man. Hope it's well. So the last story for this week is kind of on a sadder note, and it's about Ed Iske, the Cam father. He passed away at 104 years old. If you don't know who this guy is, he was basically the grandfather of American tuning. He helped build some of the first high-profile cams for drag racing applications and NASCAR. The guy was super innovative in the space. It's cool. He served in the Army Air Corps in World War II as a ground technician. He worked on aircraft engines, so that's pretty sick. He probably learned a ton just from sitting around in a hangar working on these, I'm assuming, B-17s, maybe some P-51 Mustangs. Pretty cool. He was one of the founding fathers of SEMA. He was the first president of SEMA back when it was called the Speed Equipment Manufacturing Association. They had to change the name because speed was like a bad thing in the 1970s. And SEMA started in 1968, which I was like thinking about. And I was like, yo, he was at the first SEMA, which means he was in the basement. The first SEMA was held in the basement of Dodger Stadium, which is like crazy. And they had like one of the four GTs from Le Mans on display there. I saw some old pictures. Really cool. Guy was sick. And he had worldwide recognition. It wasn't just here in the United States. He was honored with an Order of Australia medal, which is kind of interesting because, again, Australia is very strict on modifying your car. So to get an award from Australia for modifying cars is pretty interesting. And he lived to 104 years old, which in itself is incredible. I want to live to 104 years old. I want to live a life like that. this guy, I watched a video and he's still making cams. He looked like he was probably 100 in that video. He's making cams and he's smoking a big old stogie. I'd put his name up there with Edelbrock and Dean Moon to being like one of the core hot rod guys. Like, this guy shaped the space that we are in today. And I'm going to give you the Jimmy Eats Cars salute. Thank you so much, Ed, for all your contributions. And we'll meet again soon. Rest in peace, man. Dude, guy was smoking stogies at like 100 years old. Well, I think I'm pretty full on cars for this week. Again, check out Lore Garage. It's dropped today. It's the first episode. It's on MotorX. I'm sorry if I'm promoting it again. I know. I really put a lot into this project, that the whole team that I worked with, we put a lot into it, and I want it to be a good product for you guys. And I love it. Guys, leave some comments down below about what you guys want to see on here, what you want to see me talking about next. Send me stories. Let me know about stuff that's going on. I want to know. All right. Even though I'm full now, I'm always hungry for more cars. All right. And make sure to follow me at RussellJimmy.jp on Instagram. Again, thank you guys so much for being here, listening to me talk. I'm so thankful that I get to do this job every day. And remember, cherish all the moments you make, because you never know when the sun's gonna blow up.